You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, hello, hello, welcome back. So great to have you with us again today. And we've got someone special lined up for you this time. We have, it's a real live actor. His name is William. He's an American actor. He's also a singer and a voice artist. There is no end to this man's talent. He's been living in London for 24 years so far. His acting credits cover stage, film and TV. He played Frankenfurter on tour in Europe. He can be seen in the award-winning short Entrance, No Exit, on Vimeo Worldwide and on Amazon Prime. William's voice credits include Mother in the horror feature Amulet, and he voices Lithium and several other characters in Coex Studios' audio drama Coexistence, which held the number one sci-fi drama spot on Apple Podcasts for an amazing 10 weeks. William was born in North Carolina. As I say, he now lives in London. He has done for 24 years. And right now, he is my guest on this episode. Hey, William, how are you doing?
I'm very good. How are you?
I am fabulous. Thank you. Great
to
have
you today.
No, my absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking time out, because I know you just finished filming Keep Calm and Carry On, which is going to be on Amazon Prime a little bit later. And
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, cool. Obviously, we're going to have a talk about that in a few moments, because I want to find out more about that. But before we do, just to give us an idea of where we're coming from, we've heard your bio, but who is William? Who is the man behind the bio?
Well, that's a great question, and one that I'm pretty much consistently asking myself throughout my life. I think the last line of my bio is quite important because it says I'm from North Carolina, and there is a very definitive saying that in my experience is really true. You can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy, right? So I feel like that I've always been an adventure. Well, I have always been an adventurer ever since a very early age, very young age. I've always been talkative as well. You know, my mother used to say in her Southern accent when I was young, you know, I remember on frequent occasions saying, William, can't you be quiet for just 5 minutes? So I think, you know, that is another kind of statement that really defines me. I've always been inquisitive and chatty. And I think that is what led me to the profession that I'm now in. My mother, I think, out of desperation to give me something to do and perhaps give herself 5 minutes of rest, you know, she got me involved in community theater in the mountains of North Carolina, where I'm from. I'm originally from a little place called Canton, North Carolina, which is up in the Smoky Mountains. So I'm officially a hillbilly.
A hillbilly.
And I'm proudly a hillbilly.
Yeah.
But I've been very lucky to travel the world somewhat and see a lot of different places and meet a lot of different amazing human beings and, you know, experience different cultural perspectives. So I think and another thing that I've always considered myself to be was from quite a, this might be weird. From quite an early age, I kind of thought that I might be a European trapped in an American's body.
Interesting. Interesting. Could be the ancestry trying to break free, of course, break through.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I grew up kind of, well, I'm an actor, so, and that kind of, that manifested very early in my life. So I've always been super interested in, you know, television and movies and visual art. And so one of the things I used to do when I was quite young, is I used to every week on PBS, which was the public broadcasting system. Mm-hmm. I used to watch Doctor Who. So, you know, from a, And and they used to do, Are You Being Served? Is that the name of it?
Are You Being Served, set in Grace Brothers in the store?
Yes. And the Benny Hill Show. You know, you may have already known this, but Americans are quite obsessed with the Benny Hill Show. I know that it's not such a big thing here in England.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I grew up really preferring the British television that I could find on the public, on PBS, the public broadcasting system. And I think that helped really form my mindset when I was going into my more formative adult years, certainly as a teenager. And then, of course, the 1980s and all of its glory happened with, the new romantic, basically the British takeover of all the major airwaves across the planet with, you know, just kind of amazing bands, amazing singer-songwriters, amazing songs of all kinds of variety, you know. So I was really heavily steeped in that. And I got the opportunity when I was in high school to first travel to Europe with my history teacher. And I fell in love with Europe in general. I thought, when I first got there, I thought, wow, it had a familiarity to me that was uncanny, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I think many, many different roads have led to me where I am living in London as I am now. So, I think the person that I am, I've always been creative, imaginative, and adventurous, and chatty.
A great combination. I couldn't help thinking when you mentioned that you first visited Europe with your history teacher, it immediately brought to mind a snippet from comedian Eddie Izzard. I don't know if you're familiar with Eddie's work.
Yes.
One time Eddie was playing in, I think it was in San Francisco, and the gig is recorded somewhere. He says, "Hello, I'm Eddie Izzard. I'm from Europe, where all the history is from."
I mean, that just makes me laugh because that's so true.
Yeah.
And, you know, the American perspective is kind of that as well. I was lucky enough to just go home. I've just gotten back from the U.S. visiting my parents for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And on the way over, to put that a little bit more in a now context, on the flight over on Sunday, my partner and I had a really good long chat with one of the stewardesses because she was sat right in front of us. We had one of those exits. So, you know, she spent a lot of time kind of facing us, strapped into her seat. We just got to chatting. And, you know, very soon in that conversation, you know, there was that mention, as most Americans will quite early on in a conversation when it's about America and Europe. You know, she said, "Well, you know, because we only have 200 years of history, you know, and it's just so vast in Europe compared to our history." So, you know, that is a familiar kind of trope, I guess you could say, of American conversation a lot of the time.
Yeah,
you know, where all the history is.
Yeah, I remember someone describing really neatly the difference between the UK and the USA. In the UK, 100 miles is a long way. In the USA, 100 years is a long time. But the reverse isn't true.
I think that's quite an apt explanation, comparison. A really clean statement that gets right to the point.
Absolutely. Talking of getting to the point. So, yeah, you. I was going to ask you how you got into acting, but you basically, it sounds as though your mum kind of pushed you into acting so she could get a bit of peace and quiet from time to time.
Yeah, well, I think rather than push me into it, but she introduced me to it. Mm-hmm. The first production, the first show I was ever in, was a production of The Hobbit, a community theatre production of The Hobbit. And I played troll number one. So
you got a key role.
Yeah, key role. But, you know, it made a huge impression on me. I remember being most impressed, you know, in terms of going to by going to rehearsal, you know, having that kind of frequency where you that you were given a task of learning certain parts of the script and then exploring that both through characterization and in terms of blocking of the actual scene with other characters. So that whole process, that was the first time that I really got impressed with that whole process of rehearsal and preparation. And oddly, that was one of the major things that I really fell in love with. I loved that whole process. It was, you know, it was very collaborative. Mm-hmm. It was very sharing oriented.
Yeah.
And, but it was guided by, I remember the director, her name was Bibi. Bibi, I don't remember Bibi's last name, unfortunately, but she was just fantastic. She was very earthy. She was very down to earth. She was very easy to laugh. And she just had this endless font of ideas, I guess, you know, in her, this imagination just was really infectious. And I think that had a huge impression on me because I think she was one of the people in my life out of many that taught me how to use my imagination more, how to free it, how to keep it free, I guess you could say. So that very first, so my mother was instrumental in introducing me to theater, but she never pushed me into it. You know, she said, look, if you don't like it, you don't have to do it anymore. I'm not going to make you do it. She said, I would love for you to be an actor, which is very interesting, isn't it? Because most family stories are just the opposite.
Yes. You're an actor. When are you going to get a real job? Yeah.
Got to get a real job. And my mom was like, oh my goodness, I would love for you to be an actor. Right. So I've always had that support behind me as well, which is great.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. So your mom introduced you to it. And then it was working on The Hobbit with Bibi that really got you, really let you fall in love with the whole thing.
Yes, it really was. And then very soon after that, I started doing musicals. It was all community theater based. Mm-hmm. And then that led on to us in being introduced, I guess, my family, being introduced to people that were more connected in the professional side of it. And so I started modeling for a local department store called Sky City at a very early age. And then, you know, one thing led to another. So I understood, I got the experience of, you know, having pictures done. And this is going back, you know, this is going back in the 70s in the I'm telling my age now. this is going back in the late 70s, you know, so there was no digital age, obviously. So it was a much more elongated process to kind of find photographers that knew how to photograph, you know, in a particular way for the professional industry. You know, the lag time between going and having your photo taken and then having those photos processed and then hand touched up.
Yeah.
It was all a much longer languid process than it is today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mind you, I guess the pace of life was also much slower and more laid back in those days.
Well, yeah, it was. I love that, in those days. Yeah. I live in those days. it was, you know, because we didn't have mobile phones. You know, the only thing you had to rely on was landlines.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you had to make plans with people. And then, you know, you could call them on the phone on their landline while they were at home and you were at home.
Yeah.
And say, okay, are we still meeting today? Are we going to meet here at this this time and all that stuff? But, you know, there was a lot of chance in there.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot more chance than now.
I thinking back to it, I don't know how we coped sometimes. You just head out and just hope you all end up in the same place at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I remember going out and play, because I was lucky enough to live in the countryside, in the mountains in North Carolina. And so we would very often go, certainly in the summer, we would go out to kind of play, like just all day long. And, you know, I would go into the woods, we call them the woods. We would go in with some friends. We would just go into the woods and just be there all day. And the only way that we knew, we didn't have watches with us or anything like that, you know, the only way that we knew it was time to come home was, my father had a great ability to kind of whistle really loudly.
Oh, nice.
And so he would step back, he would come home from work, and then he would step out onto the front porch and he would whistle really loudly. And I that would carry, you know, sometimes I'm sure for like a half a mile, because we were at least a half a mile or more away. And then we knew that, oh, okay, that's Dad, we've got to start heading back. But a lot of times, you know, it would just resort to my mom coming out and, well, young, when everybody, all the kids in the neighborhood, their parents stepping out on the front porch and literally yelling. So it was one of the, it was a simpler time, that's for sure.
It was. It certainly
was. Enjoyable.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've done stage, film, and TV, and obviously there's going to be big differences between, particularly between stage and like TV work. So with stage work, it's something I've sometimes thought about. It kind of, TV, it almost feels a shame. You read your script, rehearse it a bit, play it once, and then you forget it forevermore, and move on to the next bit. Whereas with a play, you have plenty of rehearsals, and then you do the production for weeks or months or however long the thing
is. And you get a chance to really...
Just before we explore that in a little bit more detail, I wanted to say hello and a special thank you to our sponsor of this episode. It's Grow Radio from Gary Jones. Gary's put together something pretty special with Grow Radio. It brings you a different podcast on the hour, every hour. Whatever your taste, you'll find a podcast in there that fits your tastes. And if you just want a bit of background, just have Grow Radio playing. You never know what you're going to stumble upon. And yes, both of my podcasts will be on Grow Radio, of course. Launches September 2022. Check it out, growradio.uk. Now, what were we talking about? Ah, yes.
And you get a chance to really live in the character's form or body, I guess.
You
really get to, and to explore the creatively explore the ideal of their past and building, you know, imaginative details into their lives. And that's really satisfying. That's I personally, and I think that this probably goes for many actors, you never really lose your deep love for that theatrical, that whole theatrical experience and the depth of and the satisfaction you get from the depth of the theatrical work. And I think many of us, you know, in this modern world of kind of you know, produce and make money and survive, you know, I think that you know, time is a real commodity, isn't it? It's a real valuable commodity, time is. And so I think that the majority of actors are always, even if we go into film and television, we're looking for opportunities to go back and give ourselves that more protracted time of the theatrical experience. Yeah. I think that's very soul feeding, probably.
That makes a lot of sense, especially when you see some of the really big names who, you know, could easily shoot a film for a few months and then live off several million and then not have to do it for another couple of years. Just going back to theatre and just doing great long runs of theatre, I guess that makes sense, because that's where the true love of it is and the experience. Plus, I presume the instant feedback you get from the audience when you're
Yeah, it is. And you know, it's it's a double pronged type of feedback. It's kinetic. Mm. You can actually like feel it. So it's quite emotive in terms of energy, but it's also auditory as well. Mm. So, you know, and obviously, you know, as much as, you know, all actors understand and play the majority of the time with the fourth wall, depending on the production, right? But even utilizing the fourth wall and being immersed in the character, you still have these ghost, you know, these kind of images in the peripheral of the fact that there's this entity out there that is the audience. turns, you know, yeah. And depending on how close the audience is to your playing space, you know, sometimes you can see more detail in that peripheral space than others. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's that, well, I guess there's that three-pronged feedback. There's the kinetic, the auditory, and that slight visual feedback as well that you get. It's satisfying and addictive, dare I say that, to a certain extent.
I can completely get that. I can completely get that, yeah.
And I think most humans, you know, I think we as a species, we're prone to kind of wanting to communicate or connect through some type of performance. So, you know, I think there's an honest reason that singing competitions are so popular and, you know, theater and reality TV is so popular. It's because I think we have this compulsion as a species to kind of, you know, communicate or commune, you know, via song, via story, certainly through conversation as well. Mm-hmm. I'm a vocal coach. I didn't put it in my bio, but I've been very lucky because I've worked on The Voice for several seasons, and mm-hmm. and I've worked on the kids' voice well. I worked on The Voice both when it was with the BBC and then when it shifted to ITV. So I was, mm-hmm. and you know that. Whole experience of working with your general layman and woman, you know, mm-hmm. that has that desire beyond what it is that they do as a career or, you know, who they think they are, has that desire to go out and, you know, perform and sing. And it's a really important part of, I think, what it is to be human in a lot of instances.
Yeah. I completely get where you're coming from with that. That makes a lot of sense. And you're right. Connection is such a massive thing for most people, isn't it? I mean, we are basically fundamentally a social species where we're evolved to be connected. So, interesting. So obviously the way you and I first connected, do you like the Radio 4 link there? we first connected was your latest production, Keep Calm and Carry On.
Yes.
And for listeners, if you go to the website where the show is, keithblakemanoble.com/show, look for the one with William Lester. And on there, I'm going to pop a link to the trailer for this because you're going to want to see the trailer for the show as well.
Oh, gosh. I haven't even seen that. That's exciting.
Yay, I've seen the trailer before the start.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to click on that link as well.
I've been having some discussions with your production team. Yeah, I've managed to get hold of a trailer. So we're going to pop that on the site as well. Take a look, folks.
Oh, amazing.
But even though you haven't seen the trailer, hopefully you know a little bit about what the show is about. Tell us, what's it about? What is it all about?
Well, it's about an extended family over three different households. And they're kind of personal family dynamic in terms of the three distinct households and the foibles of that dynamic combined with lockdown, COVID and lockdown and coming out of lockdown. And it's a very comic and I think warm-hearted. I guess you could say, warm-hearted, kind of honest look at, you know, a fictional family and how they deal with not only the inevitable family kind of dynamic that's always there, but then that added dynamic of the pandemic and post-pandemic and during lockdown and coming out of lockdown as well. So,
got it. So it's basically set before, during, and after.
Yeah, I think it picks up kind of right at the as the lockdown is beginning to ease up a bit. So as it picks up, you know, the pandemic is already there, mm-hmm. and we've already kind of been experiencing, you know, the first really severe lockdown, the isolation. So we're just beginning to kind of experience coming out of it.
Nice. So And let's face it, as you say, even with any family, there's always dynamics there. But you've now got this whole, they've been in lockdown for all this time, and now they're just about got used to that. Now they're coming out of lockdown, and they've got to get used to the new normal, whatever that is. And
yes.
Plenty of
stuff. A really honest account of reconnecting.
Yeah.
You know, reconnecting and, that dynamic playing out. So my character, our household is Sean and Spencer. Right. And we have a daughter and an adopted daughter. And working with Simon Fielding, who plays Spencer, was just fantastic. We had such a fun time on set. We just laughed all the time. So it was a real ball. We got to have just such a good time filming our segments of it. And I think that's kind of very typical of what all three kind of household units in the show kind of experienced from an acting perspective, because we all, of course, talked. We did it a bit backwards because there's a Christmas special as well. And we filmed the Christmas, and that's when everybody really has come together, at all the units. And so we ended up filming that first. And it was hilarious as well. So, you know, the whole experience was really just a really fun time. We had a great time, and I think it's hopefully going to translate well to the audiences. Yeah.
No, that sounds good. That sounds good. I mean, that's coming out on 28th of September, and that's on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
Yeah. And three episodes, I believe, plus the Christmas special.
Yes, there's three episodes plus the Christmas episode. So it's a mini series of, at the moment, four episodes. But, you know, if we get a lot of people enjoying us, there could be more.
I was going to say, there's that at the moment. Is there scope for, I mean, obviously, with most series, one hopes there will be more series because one's enjoying doing them. But is there a likelihood of another series, do you think? Or is it a hope? Or is it, it really, I think, is open to...
Absolutely. There's certainly the fervent hope, you know, from everybody involved, from the production side, from Lawrence Prestige, who's the writer, from his point of view. He also plays in the series as well. And I mean, Lawrence is... you know, he's a prolific writer. He's got just a brilliant sense of humor. And he's got that great combination of being very intelligent, very down to earth. So a very warm character with a brilliant sense of humor that can go quite broad as well as be also really dry. So I can't imagine that he doesn't have loads more
ideas
about his family
for more series,
that could you know be born, really. I think there's a fervent hope from all of us that you know, the viewers really like it, and let Amazon Prime know.
Nice. As you say, that's coming out on the 28th of September, which is just 5 days after this episode comes out. Anyone who's catching this episode, make a note, 5 days time. Do catch Keep Calm and Carry On Amazon Prime. Yes, so it sounds like it's very much an ensemble piece rather than a star and lots of supporting cast. Is that true to say?
It is. It is. Although, you know, we were quite honored to have a star in our midst, Harriet Thorpe. You know, who has many, many credits to her name. Possibly the most well known, being absolutely fabulous, and you know, what can I say? Harriet Thorpe is absolutely fabulous. You know, she just really is. I mean, from that first moment that we had our first ensemble read via Zoom because we were still, you know, locked down.
And
I just remember it from that very first Zoom. I mean, all of us kind of, you know, we prepared for it. Everybody, it was obvious that we'd all prepared, you know, to kind of, oh, we're going to have a Zoom call. So we combed our hair, put on something presentable. You know, as we blinked on, everybody was, you know, pretty much on par. And then this box blinked on, and there was Harriet, and she was sitting. She was just sitting in this wonderfully lit. She was impeccable. She just was so shiny, and she was. She was sitting in this really colourful but very tasteful kind of space, super well lit. You know, I mean, she was just like, "Papa." So that was my first impression of Harriet. And you know, when we met in person and we actually got to work together, it just went from there to better and better and better in terms of experience. I mean, she's mm-hmm. like I said, she's really fantastic. She's super talented, obviously, but she's, again, she's so generous. She's really generous on set and off set as well. She's fun to act with, and she's just as fun to just have a chat with and you know, have a sandwich when you're on a break. Yeah. So and then there was also Kelly Shirley, who plays her daughter, Hannah. I mean, you know, I don't know how much I should give away. Harriet Thorpe is kind of she's the mother of the family.
Right. Okay. Right? Okay.
And so there are 1, 2, 3 siblings, of which I am one. And then Kelly Shirley plays my sister, Hannah, and so she is in another household. And I think the dynamic between all of us was constantly buoyed up by Harriet as well. And then Jess Impiazzi, she plays the second sister, Danielle, and our scenes. All of her scenes, to my knowledge, but I couldn't vouch for this for sure, are with Harriet. So I'm sure that she had an even bigger part in that time.
Oh, fantastic. So it really does sound as though you all had an absolute ball filming this.
Yes, we did. And I think everybody's in a treat on many, in for a treat on many levels. But, you know, my favorite character is Simon Fielding's character, which was my character Sean's husband, Spencer.
Gotcha. Yeah,
yeah. So I think, yeah, yeah. That, I'm just going to leave it at that. He's just he's a force to be reckoned with.
And if we want to find out what you're talking about, we have to tune in from 28th of September on Amazon Prime and catch Keep Calm and Carry On.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, brilliant. You know, time has flown by, Will. I mean, we could chat for ages.
And I apologize. I tend to go. So
who'd have thought an actor speaking lots?
I know. My goodness.
for people who want to maybe find out a little bit more about Will, mm-hmm. what's the best place for them to check you out and find you?
Well, I think I'm only just managing to keep up with the digital age. So I think probably the best way to find me and even send me a message would be via Instagram, my Instagram account, which is Will's View. Yes.
That's WILLZVIEW.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. And that's on Instagram. Do check Will out. Do follow his Instagram. Subscribe to his Instagram. Follow him. And I'll put the link and so on along with the show notes in the show notes for this episode. You'll find the usual place, keithblakemore.com/show. Look for the one with William Lester. You'll get all his contact details. You'll also get that trailer, which William hasn't seen yet.
And I'm very excited about.
William, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. What's next for William? What's next on the horizon? Or is it, can't say.
No, I'm continuing to put it out there. I'm going to be working on a feature film. One I definitively know is coming up. I'm going to be working on a feature film called Paradise Lost. And that's with a director named Luis Ventura. It's a project that has been in the making for a while. It was due to go into start filming just as the pandemic hit.
Oh,
so right. It got pushed back for a year and a half. And then we were due to start filming in this September now. Luckily, it's going to be one of those movies that's filmed all on location. So it's Switzerland, France, and Italy. And they've pipped some very, very fantastic locations for the movie. And now that the film industry is waking back up, unfortunately, some of our most important locations we got bumped from. So now that's gotten pushed back to the first quarter of January. So the next thing I'm working on is the feature film Watch This Space, called Paradise Lost. Yeah,
we'll maybe get you back for that when that comes out.
That'd be amazing. I would love that. We can talk. I can talk your ears off about something else.
I look forward to it. Well, thank you so much for your time. And folks,
thank you.
It's been a blast. And remember, folks, do check out From September the 28th. Keep Calm and Carry On on Amazon Prime. Well, thank you so much. Take care.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.